Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do, and you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech. Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Boat, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. We off the cuff right now. You dig?
Bet.
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yabba, UNLV. Ragging up from the river. Cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You hear me?
Tiffany Levine.
And it's Queen Crazy, your girl, she's a bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Well, much love.
All right.
Y'all, this is Miss Erica Jackson, and you're now tuned in to Off the Giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip-hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, what's shaking? Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh the Dime, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio. The Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clowns.
Look, he fucking with a real bitch, not for play, baby, yeah, real bitch, hit him with that God head twist, deep throat guard, yeah, that real shit, put my head down, let me feel that throat. Cash out, baby, it's the mail. I'm the type of bitch that you keep around. Hush up, baby, now I'll get around.
How I do what I do to that lollipop taste. Get naughty, sloppy and excited. My neck is so improved, got me shoes on and ride.
It's your man, King Eric. You're now tuning in to episode 402 of Off the Cuff Radio, y'all. I got my host T-Max with the facts in the building, and we got a dope show lined up.
What it do, King? Yes, we do. OTC, Fabulous Friday. Shout out to our co-host and spirit, Elada Sandman, Lady Chinchilla, So Illa. We are sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing, Buddy Boy Entertainment, Dirty Basement Radio, Core Financial, and Jesse's Boutique. We are live and direct. And King, tonight we have one of the most beautifully talented, originally outstanding honeys from Harlem that brings the heat with no stoppage and always keeping it fire with the flow. This girl is totally in tune with what's going on, laying the boom. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, representing Harlem's own Only One Harmony. What it do, boo?
What's good?
What's poppin'? What's
hey.
The vibe with shaking? How y'all doing?
Hey,
what's going on with
here?
You?
Welcome to episode 402. You made the archives.
Yeah.
What he doing? Showing up and showing out for me? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man. Look, King started this thing 7 years ago. You know, I've been part of it for the past four. And, you know, you are another lineage to the, you know, long list of outstanding guests we have ever had on this show, Harmony. This is an honor and privilege to have you on. It, you know,
yeah, I got
to
give
her
a round of applause, too.
Yeah.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you so very much. Thank you. I appreciate seeing you guys tonight. Thank you.
Definitely. We appreciate you. So, I mean, you know, like I said,
yep.
You know, so I guess, you know, I mean, we got you on. I told King about you. King had to take a listen. He saw you. He was instantly smitten.
That's right. I put the 45 jersey on. I shot my shot.
Oh, man.
And,
but
out of control already.
Off the Cuff Radio, and you know, we just played the single "Throat Goat," and let us know how they're doing on the charts right now. Like, is your audience feeling it?
Oh man, the audience shocked me. Like, I thought it was gonna be too much for the people. You know, they love it. On Spotify, we're at 62,000 streams. So shout out to everybody who's listening to the song right now. And showing your girl some love on a topic that's so controversial.
Yeah, man. And, you know, this is dope because, you know, Harmony, you and me have been friends on Facebook for a while, you know, so we finally got this going in terms of getting you on the show. Shout out to your management star for, you know, getting this. And like King said, you know, the track is fire, you know, and, you know, of course, him and myself being raised in that era of the hip-hop from all levels, from the conscious, you know, to the you know, controversial, and even, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Words are failing me right now. Provocative, that's what I'm looking for, yes. It's definitely something that, you know, when I first heard it, you know, because I'm familiar with a couple of the other joints, like What's Good and all that, you know, and you know, you definitely branched out into another avenue with it. I guess before we get into the story behind that one, I mean, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, how long you've been in the game and who inspired you, how you started. And, I mean, your pedigree from Harlem is definitely, you know, something special. You know, of course, Guy Fisher, you know, Pee Wee Kirkland, of course, the one and only Drama King, a.k.a. Mr. Slap, your favorite DJ, DJ K Slay, a good friend of mine as well. You know, shout out 125th, you know, everybody out there, uptown, downtown. I mean, yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you start out with it.
Honestly, you know, I started out, even, I mean, not professionally, but I started out as a kid singing off of the great people like Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston. I was able to sing at my own kindergarten graduation, which was great. From there, you know, I just continued to try to build up my talent. So I went to the Boys Choir of Harlem, where they integrated females, and they taught us things like how to play the drums, how to play the piano, the recorder, how to read sheet music, and how to capitalize on the voice, how to vocally use your voice. And it took me time over the years to really decide, like, hey, yeah, I'm really good at this. I won my pageant in Miss New York singing a dope-ass song, Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On. And then, yeah, and it just ventured. It took off from there. Like, I was just everywhere. And I got started basically from friends who were saying, like, listen, you got a gift, go for it. And I just went for it. And it's been working thus far. I did have a couple of times where I was like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? But, you know, overall, it's like I change with the times. And while still trying to remain true to who Harmony is, you know, Harmony is a blend of things. I'm a mix of a lot of my environment. So you'll get the sweet, you'll get the sour, you'll get the tough, you'll get the soft, and you'll get the provocative. You know, I don't feel as an artist I should be boxed in. So this is who Harmony is.
Definitely.
A big bag of tricks.
Oh, absolutely. Silly rabbit. Absolutely.
look, you got that awesome amalgam of a bodacious blend of all types, you know, of everything, you know, coming in. I mean, especially, you know, when we talked about your musical pedigree, you know, especially where, you know, it was honed at, you know, shout out to the Harlem Boys Choir. For those that don't know the level of these individuals, well, I wouldn't say individuals, but in terms of the organization itself, I would tell anybody, just start with watching the 1989 movie Glory with Matthew Broderick and Denzel Washington, and listen to An Epitaph for War. And that's only a sample of the tremendous legacy that choir has laid down. In terms of it, I mean, you know, like you said, Harmony, I mean, from your whole upbringing in Harlem, I mean, it definitely influenced you so much. What was it like growing up, and what part of Harlem was you from?
I was from Uptown on West Side, you know, Lennox and Severance, you know, with Cameron, okay. Makes everybody beat. Yeah. Let me see. My environment was very rough at one point, you know. I came from what we call a gutter, you know, from the street. But we've had great influences in our community that kept a lot of us focused and into the arts. And into certain things. So I was a kid that was in cadets. I was a kid that was in ROTCs. And I was the kid that was in anything musical, you know. So I had a good influence around me no matter what my environment was. And shout out to them for being great and who they were, you know, because they ultimately changed the direction of my life.
Definitely. And one thing about Harlem, too, is, you know, King and myself, you know, we always talk about this on air and off air, you know. Y'all just have an unmitigated swag. I mean, if anything really sets the trends in the style in terms of what makes it hot, you know, Harlem definitely brings that heat for the street, man. What makes it about y'all that y'all just – because y'all always are identified with just having the most flashiest, the most, you know, dopest, just – yeah, you know what I'm saying, what he said.
Yeah, like the trendsetters, you know. Although all the girls are great, you know, Harlem is known for our swag. We're known for getting money, you know, for looking great and setting the bar, you know, and that's what we do, you know. So I'm very grateful to even be from this town because, you know, it taught me a lot, especially yeah. Musically. Because, you know, New York City is so diverse and has a range of talent. That's within the city, but I've had some great folks around me who just kept me in tune and kept me flourishing in what I was talented in. So Harlem is so awesome. So we needed to bring some more stuff out on Harlem. We needed some artists representing Harlem all day. So here I am.
Definitely. And I mean, of course, like you mentioned, you know, Cameron, of course, Dipset, you know, of course, Dame Dash, shout out to him too. You know, singing is one, you know, discipline in terms of obviously you mastered and you mastered your MCing as well. Who are some of your influences in terms of, you know, really honing your style in terms of being a rapper? in terms of who you started listening to really, you know, build your bars from?
Oh, as far as rapping?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh man, I'm just infatuated with Kendrick Lamar, and Lauryn Hill is really cool. No, I just love like his flow, his style. Even Drake, Drake to me set a bar in my opinion because he went from rapping to sing rapping, and I'm like, you know what? He made me feel more comfortable and creating because, you know, when people hear you're a singer, they're like, okay, what type of singer? So they can box you in. Like, are you a gospel? Are you R&B? You know, are you a pop singer? You know, and I'm like, listen, music is a form of expression. I should be able to create whatever I want, how I want. If it's a great record, it's a great record. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I shouldn't have to hide other records by writing it for someone else because they're in that genre. You know, I should just be able to create great music. And these are some folks that inspire me, and I'm like, listen, man, if they can do it, why can't I? You know, times have changed.
Plus with those three, J. Cole, Kendrick, and Drake, they set the bar for like the new generation coming up. Not in terms of only making skill level important, which is a great thing. Cause we went through a dark trenches for a minute. Like everybody was chasing bad club bangers and bringing mediocre bars to the table. So it was good to see those three bring that back to the forefront.
Absolutely. And I mean, the wordplay alone, you know, the metaphors, I'm here for all of it. And although I won't sit here and pitch to the world that I'm this battle rapper. No. I'm not a battle rapper. I'm a songwriter. You understand? And it just so happens, you know, I'm from the hood. I have a mix of things. So I could kick a little something nice when it's time to sit down and write it. You know what I'm saying? So this aspect, this lane that I just jumped into is very new for me. Initially, it made me a little uncomfortable. I wasn't sure if I could be myself because I could be a bit rough, you know. And my management, you know, a couple of producers I've been working with, they're like, listen, Harmony, do what you feel, get behind that mic and go for it, you know. And while initially I thought I was giving people what I thought they wanted to hear, I was like, you know what, let me just give what I feel. And so Throat Goat came about because it's just what I felt. Like, all right, let me talk my shit and brag a little bit, you know. It's for all the goats out here who are silently saving lives every single day. Saving lives every time, you know.
I'm going to be real with it. When I first heard Throat Goat, I was like, you know, because there is nothing that can just shake me like, oh, my God, it's coming to an end. I'm like, no. When I first heard that, then, I mean, because I mean, look, King and myself, we're from the era, you know, of Two Live Crew, HWA, you know, Lil' Kim, you know, we came up in all that.
Need it all.
And one thing about it is with the, like you said, Harmony, with the way that society tries to put constraints on, you know, like the industry can put, you know, constraints on you in reference to singing, you have sometimes society that still has this uptightness as a whole, you know, this panoramic paranoia about women speaking about sexuality. And, I mean, I'm going to say it. Well, a nigga like me, I love it when a woman gets out there and just talks. I love it personally. So when I first heard that song, I was like, because I've heard some of your stuff, you know, previously over the years, but I was like, but it was different. But I'm like, I like it. I was like,
you know,
yeah.
This is like my baby now. This is one of my favorites, and only because before I think I was still taking it easy. But this record, it was like, it's almost like a rebirth. It was just like, nah, man, talk, man. Like, stop hiding and stop being afraid to be who you are because the industry sets these standards on what they feel you should be creating and what you should be. And just go for what you love, you know? And some people are going to like it, some people are going to hate it. But one thing about this record in particular, it is a liberation of women's sexual freedom. You know, and at the end of the day, we don't talk about some of the things that we do because everything they say should be left in private. They feel everything should be in private. But listen, we definitely out here being great, you know. Just like there's some great men who do great things, there's some women out here doing some real great magical things and saving situations. This is all I can say. Like, we set a bar, well, and listen, hey, look, now we need to teach a class to get it right. So don't do it at all.
Well, they,
so I was like, you know, we don't talk about it.
Yeah, and I mean, look.
And to say this, too, it's like this. And everybody want to complain about it, they can just say, hey, look, I got other records out there. Support those.
That part, too. But you know what? Respectfully scroll. Some stuff is not going to be for you. And that's okay. People don't listen to everything. And that's okay. But guess what? There's a lot of people listening. Because 62,000 streams right now, people listening.
Yeah, and you know, from that perspective of it, because this is off the cuff, so we just get raw and uncut as it goes. I mean, you know, niggas been talking about pipe game on, you know, busting down bitches, you know, for years, you know, so I'm like, you know,
mm-hmm.
So I always find it refreshing as a man to where women can get out there, because my thing is a dude, I'm always going to be, I got my wild side to me. You know, channeling my inner, you know, Shawn Michaels, Mr. Marcus, shout out to the legends. But it's also, too,
that
I'm going to be respectful with women, but it's also from the same token, you know, I like to know what a chick got to bring. I'm like, you know, and I think one thing, like, of course, everybody had an outrage, you know, with, you know, Megan and Cardi doing WAP, and I'm like, nigga, we needed
this. I think it's also the case of the music got to be good, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cause, you know,
part, yeah.
That's the reason the music got to be knocked. Because that's how Lil' Kim and Foxy was able to do their thing, because the music was good. You couldn't front on it.
Yeah.
But you know what? I was about to mention them. I was about to say people like Lil' Kim and Foxy who've been talking about it for years. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
People were shunning it then. You understand? But I just still feel like, why not? Why not? It's happening. You do it. If people out there doing it right now, why not? You know, they are there. They were major influences. I don't feel like today's day and age is so different, you know. If Kim could say, I used to be scared of the dick, not throw lips to the shit, like, come on, why can't Harmony say that she's a fucking throat goat? Like, what's the problem, you know? Like, the people, you know, are shocked by it, feeling like, well, this is what music has come to. No, first of all, the music business is a business, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go for what? First of all, I want to create. Then secondly, what will sell and make money. That's just what it is, you know. And take it or leave it. If it's not for you, baby, it's not for you. But if you're complaining about it, you obviously ain't getting your pee-pee sucked enough, baby. I did tell someone that recently. I apologize. But he came at me and I said, well, baby, it took you this amount of time to get here. Maybe somebody should be sucking you now, baby. Get out my inbox, okay?
But you know, I think it's a problem,
the problem.
See, one thing you gotta also understand with people when they complain is people just want to complain just to complain, because there's different alternatives out there. There's different voices out there. There's different that don't even rap about that stuff. And you can suggest that to them, and they don't even support that. So we just live in the era where people just love to complain.
Complain and cancel. Yep, absolutely. Complain and cancel.
You know,
that's the culture now. But,
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it is what it is, you know. Nobody's going to stop that show. I'm going to keep it moving.
Exactly.
And definitely.
So, switching gears for a minute and then talking about your possible project that you're dropping. Like, do you have an EP or an album dropping?
I have an EP that's going to drop. And honestly, it's going to be two-sided. So one side is going to give the R&B that where my foundation has come from, and then the other side is going to give some bars. I'm going to rap, you know. So it's coming soon. We're about finished the EP. We kind of revamped a little bit because I had songs ready a long time ago, but the work I've been doing as of late it's the sound is different, the feel is different. And I'm excited about it, you know. So I should be releasing very soon. I'll let you guys know and keep you abreast of that. And also the video, we did shoot the video recently, but man, it's so much behind the scenes stuff that happens in the business that people don't know about, especially when you're independent. I'm just trying to make sure the video is right, because honestly, to put out a record like this, I can't come mediocre to you guys. It just, for me, it won't set right for me. So, you know, I won't put down anybody that who's worked with me, but I definitely have to do some things to it to make it right. And so it will be dropping soon, and I'll keep you guys abreast of that as well. But definitely an EP is coming, so you can get a conglomerate of who Harmony is and relate to some of the shit I've been through.
Definitely. Now, when you talk about the video, and this is not a loaded question by no means, but, you know, for a track like that, and in this day of social media and basically just having the reins off a while, you know, off the Mustang to just get out there and just wide it, you know, all types of wild buck wild style, dare we say this is going to be a very, is this going to be one of the videos that's going to make the waves as being provocative, as being too hot for the net, or are you going to kind of, you know, keep it sexy but a little bit on the, you know, on the, not over the, you know, way over, even though that's not bad either. What's your vision for it?
No, I'm definitely not going to do that. The song has enough of where your imagination can go. The song has it already.
Got you.
The video is going to give more self playful. If you see the artwork for the video, I have a lot of candy and lollipops and things like that. We definitely put that into the video just to make it a little fun. Sexy but fun, you know, so not too provocative, not where people can't watch it, tell your kids to go sit down somewhere. No, it's none of that. There'll be enough of those type of videos that come out. You know, I do have a couple of slow songs and very sexy songs that, yeah, you might have to put these kids to bed, but this one isn't it.
Got you. Now, one thing about it, Harmony, because we've interviewed hundreds of guests on this show over the years, and, you know, we've always got so many stories, because on Off the Cuff, we've interviewed, you know, legends, and we've interviewed independents. You know, we've interviewed up-and-comers. And we always like to get the perspective of what, because we have a lot of, we have an audience out there, and we always want to try to get the best information to our audience that we know how from our guests. And in terms of, you know, you and your team, you know, running on an independent level, what do artists have to understand in terms of what this industry is, in terms of, you know, having your own creative vision when everybody may not see it the way you do, and then doing this from an independent scale where you're, you know, just following what your intuitive vision is for creative control and execution is?
You know, if there's any independent artists out there or aspiring independent artists out there, let me say it definitely takes a lot of hard work. It definitely takes your own finances, and it takes you to have a good team, a solid team around you, whether that be management, whether that be for marketing and promotion, whether that be your PR, it's just a range of choreographers, you know, your video people. You have to have a solid team around you, and you have to remain very consistent. Make the decisions that is best for you and yours, and don't compromise yourself, because it's a lot of bullshit happening out here where people are trying to get a favor for a type of favor, you know, and don't be that artist.
Right.
Keep a solid foundation around you and learn the business. Learn what contracts are. Understand what a 360 deal is. Understand what is in writing, what's in front of you. Get everything in writing, including going into the studio and having your split sheet. It's a lot of things that you're supposed to know about the business to protect yourself and from any type of harm, and also protecting others that you're working with closely. You know, at the end of the day, people are owed their dues, and you got to make sure it's done right. So it is no BS at the end, because, you know, you never know what song could blow, and you don't want to be in a situation where somebody trying to sue you for everything because you didn't handle your business right. So learn your business. Spend what you need to spend efficiently, but, you know that this takes quite a bit of coin, take quite a bit of money, you know. And so if this is your dream, your passion, get the right folks around you and don't just sign with anyone and everywhere, you know.
Definitely. Pretty much.
Now with the way things change with the streaming and the whole technology thing that took away the hand over fist hard copies, and now you got to do it with the streaming. So that's another layer of the game that you got to learn as well.
Mm-hmm. This is why when people ask me, oh, can you play the record in the background? I'm like, no, ma'am. I don't want to play it in the background for you. I need you to go to Spotify and go listen to it, baby, because that listen counts for me.
Right.
And, you know, the people have been doing great for me, you know, like I said. Like, I'm just in shock because none of my other records did this well, honestly, you know. But this record is doing very well, and I'm eternally grateful for whoever clicked the stream or whoever clicked play, you know. Thank you, you know, taking a moment to hear what I had to say for 2 seconds, you know. But, yeah, they see the way the world is working now with Spotify and, yeah, you can't sell your CDs in the street no more. And I'm not passing out USBs outside, no, either, you know. It's just hitting that pavement and doing shows and doing interviews and getting them BDS things going and, you know, getting the record played. You know, TikTok is now a very intricate place to have your music. Influencers are there. You know, there's a lot of things that's out here now that can catapult you in different ways. So I would say, you know, do your due diligence, do your homework, be smart.
Definitely. Now, you being a born and bred New Yorker, Harmony, pretty much, you know, New York, you know, had a run for a minute, and then it kind of, you know, then it gave way to the West Coast, and then a lot of people feel like in terms of New York hip-hop, how it's kind of changed to more of the down south. From your, you know, observation and, you know, of course, being in one of the epicenters of the style, you know, that influences hip-hop music in Harlem, you know, how have you felt about where New York's progression and place in the hip-hop hierarchy has been over the past few years?
You know, we've changed quite a bit, you know, and while I understand the South is receiving a lot more love, especially ATL. When everything I hear is ATL. I just think New York has to support one another the way these other towns are still supporting each other. Because things have changed here. We've become so competitive because there's so many talents here that we stop supporting each other. We stop going to the shows and or buying the tickets and stuff. And if you didn't make it somewhere else, you know, they're not supporting you here. And I just think that, you know, we shouldn't have to conform to a different style just because that side is doing something different. You know what I'm saying? We just have to stay true to ourselves. And back in the day, that's what we did. When Big was out, Puff was out, you know, everybody had their own swag, their own style, and they made it work. But they stuck together as a collective. You know, I think New York has to be reminded of that at times, you know. And there's some great folks out here working with one another, but it's not enough to make a lot of noise. So they hear this interview today, New York need to get it together.
Yeah, you know, and when we think about that era, Harmony. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Kane, go ahead.
No, I was agreeing with her just based off New York having the identity, bringing that regional sounds back. That's what I miss about hip-hop today in contrast to the previous eras, that you had regional sounds. So you knew it was a New York sound, you knew it was a Texas sound, you knew it was a Memphis sound, and so on. I think that's what's happening, is everybody trying to sound like everybody, trying to go with formula.
Right, when there is no formula. Like, there is no formula to this, in my opinion. If somebody can make it off of just doing something on YouTube, like, really quickly. Like, back in the days, there used to be people who got signed by these big major labels. It's not even happening anymore. You know, and if you do get signed to any type of label, you have to be completely established already. There is no artist development, you know. So, no, don't conform, man. Just be who you are, but just be hot at it. You know what I'm saying? And all of this is a work in progress, but, man, you never know what's going to hit. It could just be something so simple, and it just hits, you know.
That's true. Yeah, and I mean, you know, when I think about it, you know, up top, you know, from what y'all were doing in the Big Apple back in the day, you know, when you listen to a lot of artists, you know, especially, you know, I'm a big QB head, you know, King will tell you that, you know, especially, you know, of course, Nas, Lakey the Kid, you know, Mobb Deep, you know, Infamous Mobb, you know, Cormega, Trey, Kadafi, you know, of course, if you take it to the Bronx, you have Pun. You know, of course, Brooklyn, you got Big Daddy Kane, you got Jay-Z. If you take it to Queens, you know, you got 50 and Kool G Rap, you know, my favorite MC of all time. I mean, you know, Harlem, you know, Dipset, yourself. I mean, everybody pretty much during that time, you know, Staten Island, we can't forget them with the Wu-Tang. You know, it pretty much, you know, everybody during that era, you know, like King said, there was just a distinctness that really, really, really encompassed that, you know, hardcore, like we think of, it's like, and even with the sounds, they could even be regimented into seasons. Like when you listen to GZA's Cold Liquid Swords, you know, and I can't take credit for what I'm about to say because RZA, I believe, said it when he said they designed that record to be played for like the cold temperatures. You know, when you listen to Raekwon's Cuban Lynx album, that's like, I mean, Ice Cream alone was just a summer banger. I mean, when you listen to Nas's, you know, Illmatic, Halftime, you know, specifically, it's like it really brings, like, that hood out. You know, I mean, Fat Joe with the Bronx, I mean, it really brings that hardcore street pavement, you know, from all over.
That's right.
You know, it's like,
that's
you know,
right.
So your New York hip-hop, I think, from, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm 43, so it's like I grew up in all of that era in terms of watching a lot of these guys. You know, of course, when you get into, you know, Brooklyn, you know, shout out to Red Cafe representing Flatbush, you know, Mano representing Bed-Stuy, you know, they really, really set the tone in terms of, like, really bringing that street to it. And, I mean, you're carrying on tradition in the most tremendous way in terms of what you've done and what you're doing and what you will continue to do. Pretty much as you have gone on with it, who are you looking to possibly do collabs with in terms of, has anybody reached out to you or have you reached out to anybody, or are you just kind of riding this wave right now with the success that the song is having and just seeing where it's going to go?
Honestly, I've been riding a wave, honestly, because I kind of, God willing, somebody hits me up, somebody like the J. Cole's or the Kanye's, and man, listen, that would be a dream, but honestly, I'm just riding my wave, you know, I'm being Harmony the Artist, and I'm riding it to wheels fall off, and if somebody who's in a better position, who's, you know, an A-lister, you know, celebrity who would like to come on board and say, hey, Harmony, let's do a collab. Yeah, I'm with all the shenanigans. But in the meantime, in between time, you know, like I said, Harmony, just I had to do a serious revamp because I really could not continue to make the music that I was making before because it wasn't completely true down to who Harmony is, you know. Mm-hmm. And before I leave this earth, I want the world to know who I was. And possibly have helped one person, you know what I'm saying? So in the meantime, in between time, I'm on my grind, and I'm on my own path. So they jump on board, come on with it, you know?
Well, I mean, we're here for
and
all
you know, you being from Harlem and everything, Harlem is very competitive. I'm talking about in terms of the flash and the flow.
Oh.
Do you have a competitive spirit in you?
When the time comes and the cards call for it, absolutely, you know. But I don't need to compete. I'm in my own lane. Competing against my damn self. But, you know, if the card call for it, then, yeah, I'm all the way outside.
Look, I mean, you know, and the thing is about Harlem, especially with the competitiveness, like King said, I mean, of course, you know, it goes without saying about the world-famous Apollo Theater. And then, of course, you know, the EBC, Entertainer Basketball Classic, known as the Rutgers. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, y'all have always, like, been the litmus test, you know, for lame or legendary. Either you gonna get it or you're gonna get, you know, put out of it. And the barometer there on the block, you know, for what y'all have set, you know, and built, the construction has been monumental. And one thing about it that, you know, we sense the sincerity, we feel the passion, is that this is not just a profession for you. This is a declaration of your freedom. This is your emancipation of you as an individual to really, you know, express yourself as you see fit. What does hip hop mean to you in terms of what it has allowed you to do?
I mean, hip hop, what it means to me is freedom. Hip hop to me, I don't know, man. We're influential, you know. It's the driving force. It's the energy behind our areas. I don't want to say the ghetto, but yeah, the ghetto. Hip hop is just our life stories. It's our experiences, and it influenced me so much, you know. Because honestly, where it all began, of course, the Bronx. You know, these are all the things we were able to discuss. Mm-hmm. What was going on in our own lives. You know what I'm saying? And to have someone, some passionate. Have all these artists coming out so passionate about life and passionate about struggle, passionate about triumph. You know, it just means like it's just freedom to me, honestly. If we didn't have any other type of things going on in our lives, the shackles that's been placed upon us, rap is the one thing that nobody could take from us. Nobody.
Definitely. And when you mentioned the Bronx, yeah, and we mentioned the Bronx, you know, 1520 Sedgwick Boulevard, I believe August 16th, 1974, 76, I believe, DJ Kool Herc, you know, with the two turntables and a microphone, which were laid down, you know, that technique, you know, of course, the rhythms itself, and of course, with him being Jamaican, you know, shout out to Usual Suspects, giving us a little bit of the history lesson last week, you know, of course, hip-hop, you know, with his, you know, the music group started in Jamaica, you know, the rhythms and everything, you know, which was, you know, ultimately came here and then evolved into what it is now. And, of course, you know, if we just talk about him as an individual, I mean, keeping it real and leaving out the other drama shit going on, of course, with Afrika Bambaataa, you know, giving it its name, hip hop, which means hip, being current to what's going on, and hop moving forward, rap being rhythm and poetry, you know. So this was a genre that was born out of the plight of, you know, the black and brown men and women, you know, who were outcasts of society, who did not have a voice, that was able to really, really, really express themselves, you know, and like the way of rock and roll, which us black people invented as well, you know, check the history, you know, a lot of people thought that hip hop was going to be this other passing phase that would never really materialize into anything substantial. And now it's the biggest export that America has because, I mean, you got people in Japan rapping, you have people in Pakistan rapping, you have people in Russia rapping, you have people in Paris rapping, people in Canada rapping. I mean, we have taken this culture of ours, you know, with the four elements of graffiti, DJing, MCing, and breaking, and the whole world has been able to feel us, you know, even if the language isn't the same, the stories and the creativity of it all are infinite, boundless, perpetual, and still going. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
not to mention our fan base in Russia. Big shout out to Russia. We keep pumping.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean,
awesome.
Pretty much, I mean, how are you pretty much seeing the game change business wise? Because, of course, you know, I mean, you know, we talked about the music, but what have you seen from the business aspect in terms of, like you said, in terms of how artists aren't getting really, because obviously you knew people coming up in Harlem. What was it like back in the day when you heard about an artist getting signed to a label, they were even going to shoot a video, or just when they had a song that was buzzing in the hood? What was it, you know, what did it take back then in those days to really, like, for his to just get their name out in the hood like that?
You know, things were different. It used to be where, you know, your song was played on the block party, you know what I'm saying, or you were handing out your CDs, or you were battling somewhere, you know, or if someone heard you, they'd walk you right into a label. An A&R would walk you into a label and have you do something in front of these executives and sign you, you know, where nowadays, even then, like I said, they would develop artists. They would pull artists
mm-hmm.
together and have a whole team together for the artists. But now it's so very different. You know, everything is a digital. The digital world had taken over so much that the development had to come from yourself. You know, the labels wanted to see how much money you put inside yourself before they invest in you. Now, if you're a small-town person that didn't have certain luxuries, how could you show that, you know what I'm saying, outside of your talent?
Right.
And sometimes talent is, like nowadays, talent is not enough. You could be completely, I know so many talented folks. New York is full of them.
Right,
but to get
right.
a deal, you have to have certain numbers together. You have to have put in a certain amount of work, have a certain amount of records, streams. You know, can you sell out a show? You know, a whole bunch of things. You know, back in the day, the labels handled a lot of that stuff for you. You know, so times have definitely changed. And so, you know, I would just tell anybody, adjust with that time. Adjust now. Make the adjustment and move forward. Get the right people around you. Make sure you write your records. Write your records. Oh, my gosh. Ownership.
I'm glad you brought that
Ownership.
Up because just what people fail to understand about the potency of not having a ghostwriter is, when those checks start being distributed and they want to use your songs for, like, movies and soundtracks, the ghostwriter going to start getting all that.
Yeah. Publishing, ASCAP,
yep.
all of that. You know.
You're publishing. You're talking about all your work and it went to someone else? Come on.
Because you didn't want to write?
That's why I say you didn't want to write. You didn't want to put two words in? Come on now. Come on now. And then when it's time to do those split sheets, you're not going to get a point or nothing on it. And even now, so, like, to even get a record sold, is like in the amount that you might get for that one play, .0001, like what? I didn't even know the penny could drop that much, .00001. You know how hard you have to work? Come on now. Too much going on, so... You know, independent artists are starting making their own platforms, creating their own sites, and driving the streams there, or driving the views there, or getting people to purchase the records throughout their own sites instead of giving it to everyone else. You know, while these big engines are pushing these records out for us, you know, we still have to gain something as an artist. And before them checks start coming in, baby, somebody played your song today for 99 cents, and it could have went to you and that producer. You know what I'm saying? But we give away so much, so I just think that people have to focus in a little bit on what the business is. Be the business. You know?
Yeah. You know, when we look at a lot of situations, you know, in terms of where the game has gone, because obviously, you know, on, you know, the fucked up side of it, the internet has given a lot of motherfuckers voices that were just totally trash. But always on the great side of it, it shows people having, because hip hop at its core is ingenuity. It's about inventiveness. It's about making a way out of no way. It's adapt, improvisation, and overcome. And you know, when you look at a lot of the independent artists out there, you know, who really, really, you know, like Sheck West, you know, when you look at guys like Nipsey, rest in peace, shout out to my man G Perico, representing Broadway Gangsta out in, you know, South Central. I mean, when you look at what Mozzie was doing independently before, you know, and still is independent, you know, Mozzie still is not signed to a record label, you know, you know, when you look at a lot of these artists, I mean, when you look at French Montana, when he was doing, you know, his Cocaine City DVDs, you know, a lot of people don't know French was already a millionaire before he got his deal, you know, mm-hmm. because they were moving it on the strength of, like King said, it's always important to make sure that your shit is good. And that's how everybody really, really, really catches up to you. And the thing is, you know, of course, Nipsey, you know, like I said, because Nipsey was a millionaire before he got a deal with Atlantic. You know, I mean, of course, the stories about his Crenshaw mixtape being $100 and Jay-Z bought 100 copies to show support, then the mailbox money joint he dropped.
People don't
understand
what kind of support that, people don't understand, like, it's like you were saying, like,
yeah.
how far that support would do. That strength
is
the culture, too.
That's right. Listen, they didn't even want to sign Kanye when Kanye first pulled up on the scene. Dame brought Kanye to Jay. Jay was like, nah. And look at Kanye now. Like, I remember, man.
When Kanye, it's great you brought that up because I remember that joint Kanye. I can't remember the song title, but Kanye basically broke down the whole story as to, I think it was, who was it, King? Was it Arista, Virgin that was supposed to sign him at the time? And at the 11th hour, they decided not to, because Kanye didn't want to go to The Rock at first because he wanted to get his own deal. And, you know, like I said, because it's also too, they were reluctant to sign him as an artist. They loved him as a producer, but at the time, nobody really knew, could he cut it as a rapper? You know, of course, he has the accident, you know, Through the Wire was produced by him and came out of that his own pocket for it. You know, and it was still shopping it around, you know, in terms of looking for an actual label deal, and nobody would give it to him. And then he ended up right back where he started from, you know, signing with The Rock. And then College Dropout hits, and then boom.
That's with history.
You know, the rest is history, exactly. You know, and, you know, for all of, you know, he's had his shenanigans and that shit crazy. Yeah.
Gotta bet on yourself at the end of the day.
Yeah, even for all his craziness and batshit moments, one thing can be said about Kanye Omari West. He is supremely, you know, confident in what he can do, and he has shown that he can, that when he puts his mind to it, he's going to make moves. You know,
he's talented. He's definitely talented. He's very talented.
Yeah.
But, you know. Hey, man, I don't know what's going on that side of the world. Let me say that. You have his moment.
The way you look at it, just look at the come up and just leave it there, because these cats got a lot of weirdo stuff going on. And I'm like, y'all can have that. But y'all come up, we salute that, because y'all became staple in for the culture. But everything y'all doing afterwards, hey, more prayers to you.
Hey. That's right. Keep making great hits, though. Thank you.
So what have you found in terms of definitely? So what have you found in terms of the life, in terms of being a celebrity? Because you are one, you are known, you have a name, you have a song that's doing great. What have you seen in terms of the side of, you know, the hip hop famous celebrity that a lot of people don't see behind the scenes in terms of how this life, you know, because obviously, you know, you have a life outside of music, you know, as many other artists do as well. You know, all artists have, you know, y'all are human beings first. You know, what have you seen in terms of how the industry can, and the business can really, you know, what part it plays in your life and how it can change your life, you know, in a negative or positive way?
Okay, I'll give an example. You know, I work with a certain producer that's pretty popular. It's been making hits for a very long time. And, as I won't name him, but I definitely, you know, it was been some weird experiences for me, you know. It's another reason why I always keep my manager around. But as a woman in this industry, right. you know, I go into certain studios and, you know, they're expecting certain scenarios to
favors.
Happen, you know.
Right, favors.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah, I'm not with it. Yeah, that's not for me. I'm not with it.
Right.
And so I keep someone around me at all times because it's about a protection thing at this point. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Not saying I'm the baddest in the world, but, you know, it happens, and I don't want to ever be compromised just to make a record, you know what I'm saying, that we're both going to benefit from in the long run. But, you know, someone put me in a position where they held all my music, you know, because they couldn't get next to me, you know what I'm saying? And I had to start over where people be like, Harm, where's your stuff? Where's your stuff? I'd be wanting to say, like, oh, man, if y'all only knew, you know what I'm saying, that I had to start over because some prick didn't get a chance to play with his pick around me, you know? And so I had to, you know, I've had to readjust a couple times. And, you know, now I'm very confident with the folks I'm working with that I've developed a rapport with over the years. So, you know, this industry the rabbit hole can get deep. but, you know, it's all about what you allow, what you don't allow, and what you get into. Don't compromise yourself. That's all I can say, especially the ladies that are coming up, especially the brown girls like me, you know what I'm saying? Because it's much harder for a brown girl like me to get in. I'm not the fair, light-skinned girl. You know, I'm more of the chocolate girl. And, you know, it was treated a little bit different, you know. A certain tour I was supposed to go on, I didn't get it because I wasn't light-skinned, you know. And not because I'm not talented, not that I couldn't perform, but because my skin wasn't light. And I don't care. I'm not bleaching my skin. I'm not doing any of that crazy stuff, you know. My audience is going to be whatever my audience is going to be, you know, and I refuse to compromise. You know, so why it did bother me in a little bit, I was more so like, okay, well, next, you know, where are we going now? Because, you know, the industry can be very different, but the industry also can be very beautiful. You know, I've come across some amazing folks who are completely talented, who taught me some aspects of the business, who taught me even things in the studio. You know, I'm very grateful for that. I got a chance to meet Neo a couple times and open up for him in the Bronx. And Neo is one of the most down-to-earth folks I've met, you know. Very, very cool, very chill, very, it would be like something like you're speaking to your brother, you know, very easy. I learned that he gets nervous like the rest of us. And when he gets nervous, he works out. He does push-ups right before running out on the stage. I thought that was awesome because, for me, I feel like I got to go to the bathroom and be nervous. but, you know, him, it just was so cool. So the industry can teach you a lot. You take from it what the life lessons you gotta learn from it. But don't compromise is all I can say.
Yeah, and you hit on a couple of major points, Harmony, especially because, and, you know, we can only say this on the air because this situation has been documented. We're not casting aspersions or accusations on anyone in particular. When you talk about, you know, how producers try to get next to you in the most unethical and sleazy of ways, I immediately thought about the situation that happened with Dr. Luke and Cachet with that whole situation of what allegedly happened. I'm not here to accuse Dr. Luke of anything, and I'm not saying Cachet is not telling the truth about what happened. I don't know. I was not there, but we obviously know the situation about, you know, how Cachet was saying that he was holding her hostage with her contract and about all the stuff he did to her. And then what you also mentioned, too, about the colorism that still goes on in the industry, you know, which a lot of people still try to say is not a real thing in terms of what is considered to be palatable and presentable to the public.
Right.
you know, obviously, you know, your complexion is cosmic in terms of all things chocolate girl wonder, you know, magnificent. You know, I think if anything, King and myself, we love women from all, you know, complexions. We think all women from everywhere is beautiful, but especially our black women. But pretty much,
to the queens and the mothers of the earth.
Yeah.
Try again.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, you know, the queens, you know, the goddesses. What have you seen in terms of how the marketing of a lot of women has come in the industry from, you know, those days of Salt and Pepper, you know, of course, to Queen Latifah, you know, Yo-Yo, you know, Mary J, even because she was the queen of hip-hop soul, you know, just how the industry is that paradigm, the shift, the marketing, the strategy, the overall, what have you seen in terms of how it has changed over the years, in terms of who's getting the push and who is not?
You know, the Lauren types, the Queen Latifah types, they're not, even the Jasmine Sullivan, I mean, she's incredible.
Oh, yes,
you know,
she is.
You
oh,
talk,
yes.
Oh, geez, Louise,
ooh.
You know, she's incredible.
Yes.
She's not even marketed the way she should be because she should, oh man, she's incredible. She should be everywhere. Like her album is, Hotels is incredible to me. But anyway, you know, things have shifted. We, at that time when Queen Latifah came out, when, Mary J. Blige, you know, they were talking about conscious rap. You know what I'm saying? The times were different. The world was different at that time, you know.
Right,
we were
right.
into liberation and freedom and promoting positive influence through rap. You know what I'm saying? Nowadays, things have shifted so much where everything is over sexualized.
Right.
Even me saying that, even with we have a record like Throat Goat, things are over sexualized. Yes. I do think it's sometimes necessary, but I also say we have so much more in store, you know, and I think that what the kids are listening to today is things like this because that's what's being put in their face, you know. Guys getting money, getting chicks all day, you know, busting it down and keeping it moving. You know, it's just like that's the language now versus before, you know, it wasn't. And like I said, you know, times change, people change, but all music changes like that. If you notice, our parents and grandparents was not listening to the type of music we were listening to growing up.
That's true.
That's just today's music. Music is ever-changing. It went from, you know, it went from the Jackson 5 to you know, it went to the Whitney Houstons, and it went to the Lauryn Hills. If you just look at the transition, it just evolution. You know, evolution is just it's supposed to happen. You know, you either get with the times and adapt, or you know, you just get left behind. Because even the most conscious rapper right now, we know who they are, but they should be in a different level too.
You know,
share a platform.
You know, and it's wild because I wanted to build on that for a minute, Harmony, with what you were saying in that context. Because when we look at the transition, the marketing of it, you know, when we're talking strictly about female artists, you know, in any genre of music, sex sells, obviously. And we can say that it's just a fundamental truth. There's always going to be the visual appealing, you know, aspects of it, you know, that are going to push it. but I guess when we look at it from a certain level of where, and I mean with gangster rap, you know, even with what it was back in the day, you know, King and myself, we always talk about, you know, how it was with the radio, with the videos back in the day, you know, how there was a balance. There was a lot of it, but there was a balance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The same way we could hear, like, I could, you know, And I'm digging in the crates for this one, you know, being from Hampton Roads, Virginia. Shout out, you know, 202 down, 757, you know, town of the side where I reside. You know, we, you know, I remember growing up and we would hear West Coast, like, threats, let the dogs loose, or, you know, alcoholics make room. You know, shout out to Uncle Tash. You know, but we would also hear, you know, R&B jams like, you know, TCF Crew, I Ain't the One, you know, or Black Girl, mm-hmm. you know, 90s Girl. You know, we, you know, it was a diversification. And also, too, because we came from that generation in terms of music where hip-hop, even in its nascent phases, in earnest in 78, you know, but even going back further with Gil Scott-Heron and The Last Poets, you know, even going further back with James Brown, you know, really where the, mm-hmm. the where you could see the building of it. It wasn't there yet, but you could kind of see the blueprint for where it was going. But when rap really came in with Sugar Hill in 78, so we're seeing, we jump to 84, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, The Message, you know, which was one of the first real social commentaries of the ghetto on wax. You know, this would mm-hmm. also come the next year with LL Cool J, 1985, with, you know, Radio, you know, with Def Jam, right. you know, their first artist that they signed. So we're looking at all of this, and there was still a level of where, you know, we go from the time of the basic rhyming to the street edge. It wasn't quite on the hard side until next year with Schoolie D, you know, live Saturday night in 86. Of course, Ice-T would drop Ron Pays, you know, in 86 mm-hmm. later that year. We go a couple years, you know, but then we get into the aspects of, you know, Public Enemy, 1987, Yo Bum Rush the Show, you know, their debut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, of course, we get into 88, N.W.A., Straight Outta Compton, you know, that while it was not the first gangster rap album, Schoolie D pretty much has, if you really know your history, he has that first distinction for having a real first gangster rap album, but that was out, N.W.A. Straight Outta Compton was the one that really got it out there on a public scale because we, you know, it broke through with Fuck the Police. So we're, but it's still mm-hmm. at the same time, we're looking at all these different styles of hip-hop, and they're still coexisting in the same era because while we still had gangster rap in 86 going through 88, we still had the conscious rap. We had X-Clan. You know, we had the Stop the Violence movement on the West, you know, on the East Coast. You know, we had the West Coast All-Stars. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're still getting all of this where it was not oversaturated, where, I mean, everybody's going to have their different feelings on it. And that's fine. I'm only speaking from my perspective. But we still had a level where it was still, I guess I dare say, it still felt more authentic then because it wasn't a cash grab because it had not, you know, rap was something if you did it, you know, if you made money on it, great, because we also had a lot of, you know, labels like Profile, Sleeping Bag, you know, Tough City, you know, a lot of these independent labels, you know, Cold Chillin', all of that. So it was not necessarily the corporations that were in it yet in terms of giving that corporate influence. So you still probably had a more authentic representation of what the
Absolutely.
Music was during that time. And now it's mm-hmm. like it is different, you know. And when we talk about getting back to the ladies again, I mean, Jasmine Sullivan, oh, my God, she's just phenomenal. Yes, and of course.
Phenomenal.
Yes, and of course, I'm going to throw it out there to my baby, her. Shout out to 707 Vallejo Bay Area. Oh, my God, mm-hmm. her just does something to me. She does.
Yeah, she's
I'll
awesome.
I'll say it on
she's
air.
So awesome. Very, very talented, very, very skilled and very beautiful. Has an amazing sound. You know, there's so many artists out here who, what they're putting out there and what they're producing and stuff, I'm like, why aren't they on a platform that's bigger? You know, I see her doing more things. She just did the Old Navy commercial and stuff like that. But folks like Jasmine, what's the vibes? Because she's talent, you know. Just, you can't deny that. But like I said, music definitely just been ever-changing. I had Luke growing up. Luke had me doing Doodle Brown, you know what I'm saying?
At the end of the day,
we cannot forget Uncle
Man,
Luke.
Man, listen.
Yeah, how could I forget?
Exactly.
Yeah, nasty
as
they
like,
want to be. Yeah.
Yes. Adita Howard, freak like me. Like, at the end of the day, music has started to revolutionize. It just started to evolve in certain ways. And, you know, I think a lot of people always feel like, well, my era was better. My era was this. My era was that. Not really fully realizing that it was just ever-changing, you know. And that's the way the music industry is today, except now it's digital, you know. We're in 2021, you know. Things like streams, you know, is numbers now.
Yeah.
You know, it's numbers game.
And you know the one thing, too, y'all, and King and myself, we talk about this a lot with our guests, is that a lot, and this is, we're not two grumpy old men who are just screaming at the sky, you know, waving our canes, you know. We're children of this culture. We love it. You know, but I think the one thing a lot of young people don't understand is today, I'm like, respect the elders that came in terms of, I'm like, you know, when y'all hear, you know, wet-ass pussy, you know, or, you know, throat goat. It's like, you know, you had Adina Howard. You had, you know, Lil' Kim. You had a Hoes With Attitude.
Right.
They
Foxy
was all,
Brown.
This,
absolutely.
Yeah, Foxy, they was doing this beforehand.
Yeah.
You know
what I'm saying?
But
people are so shocked because, you know, I'm like, why? Why? Wasn't you Duda Browning? Wasn't you? Oh, man, face down, ass up?
Nah, they're trying to override the past because, you know, the stuff they were doing before social media had them, they were wilding out there.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's
before,
a reminder.
Yeah, before, remember when Polaroids were still taking pictures and you had to shake the picture to develop the picture, see your mama out there doing something strange. Listen,
mama,
you know, people just got to come to terms with
it. My man Freaknik.
Man.
Right.
I don't know about that.
Yo.
Right.
Yo, there's, I mean, when we think about it back in the day, like Luke, you know, was the gateway for every adolescent, you know, every adolescent nigga coming up, man, because it's like, you know, because it's like we was all, you know, I mean, we was, you know, we especially we get into that 11, 12-year-old stage, and you really start noticing, you know, chicks out there, they, you know, it's like, you know, they used to see the videos, like, me so horny, and then you hear songs like, hey, mo head.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It was crazy back then. It was more over the top back then.
Yeah, right. But when King said Freaknik, that is one of the things I wish to my younger self that, you know, I was able to go to. Because I remember when I heard the stories about Atlanta, you know, and of course Black Beach Week in Daytona. I mean, they was stories I heard, if you could, and some of the videos I saw, I was like, yo.
That's why I'm so I laugh at folks because I'm like, why are you guys so shocked? Like, this is brand new for you guys. Like, this has been going on for years, honey. Oh, I don't want my kids listening to that. Well, as a kid, you was listening to this, and you wanted your mama and daddy to let you listen to it too.
Tell
yeah.
Yeah, that's all I
and
got.
And look how
say.
You turned out. That part.
That
got I'm not talking to you guys.
Yeah, you know, and that's something where, you know, but I always say a lot of times it's false outrage because, you know, one thing about it is there's always going to be an intrinsic link with opposition and what's perceived as obscene, you know. But my thing is when you're looking at mature, that's why, and I'm obviously never going to be a proponent of censoring anything because I believe we all have the right to free speech. I do believe there are certain things their kids are, you know, obviously going to be too young to fully understand. But that's where parents need to come in and explain this to them in terms of certain elements because it's already out there. And I tell parents, and this is where it gets into everybody tries to legislate, like what Tipper Gore did back in the day when she first heard Prince's album, and she's the one that started the PMRC, you know, movement, you know, where they got the labels, the explicit labels slapped on the albums. But one thing about it is we live in a real world, and we're real human beings with real emotions, real feelings, and real forms of expression, which I do not think should be suppressed, castrated, ostracized, or censored in any capacity. You know, but I do believe that there needs to be a conversation, because if there's not a conversation, there's going to be a confusion. If there's confusion, inevitably there's going to be a calamity behind it. And it's all about just being open about what's going on, you know. And I think that's something that is, it's a healthy conversation because, you know, in this age of mass media, in this day of what consider, you know, what could be hypersexualized, you know, there needs to be cognition, there needs to be understanding, there needs to be people just, you know, have a discernment of what is real and what is reality, you know, what is real and what is not real. You know, dare I say it, just like porn, you know, it's just like it's entertainment. It's not to be taken seriously. And one thing about it is that it is something that people who really have an understanding, because I believe a young person, even if they're younger, who has good upbringing, if they've been taught well, they have an understanding of saying, okay, this is, you know, there are certain emotions that have to be involved in this before things happen, as opposed to some child who just sees it and just runs off and gets crazy with it. You know, it's just a lot, you know, to take in from an industry where, you know, the visual can be so arresting and the message can be mesmerizing. But I will never, ever be someone who says, well, no, just because I don't like it, it shouldn't be out there. No, that's not my choice. And I'm not going to be this person trying to speak for everybody else. And what they, I'm like, if we get into that, and I'm going to say this in terms of Americans, as an American, in terms of American society, that's what freedom of speech is for us to express ourselves and to not have someone tell us what we can and cannot say. You know, and if we get into trying to be a thought police or trying to relegate and legislate what is said, we're in a bad place. That's not what we stand for as a country, you know, as a society. No. You know.
Right.
You know, I mean, so pretty much outside of, your musical, interests. What other interests do you have? I mean, do you have any other endeavors in terms of possibly acting? I mean, writing? I mean, what else does Harmony enjoy doing?
What do I enjoy doing? Oh, I love hair and makeup, of course. But as far as acting, I've definitely got into the actor's world. So I've done a couple of things, some background work, but I've also done some things in front of the camera. That was pretty dope. Got a chance to get on Dr. Oz and do a segment with him, which was pretty dope, on the pituitary gland. And,
wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Helping you grow.
Yeah, he actually pulled out the pituitary gland to show how it affects you and your brain and stuff and weight loss and things like that. If you Boogie, the movie The Boogie that just came out, I got a chance to be in a couple scenes there. With Pop Smoke, rest in peace to Pop Smoke. And I've been tapping in a little bit. It's definitely, you have to be in tune with your inner self in order to act. You know, it's one thing just reading some lines, but you really have to deliver what it requires. So it's definitely, I've taken some classes with Mark John. Just
Mark
to get
John
some
Jacob?
Technique down. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got
a picture
with him. Yeah, from Luke and Isaiah. Yeah, Mark John Jacob,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's
good guy.
He's very awesome.
Really good guy. Yeah.
Very, very earth. Yeah, he's awesome. I'm definitely tapping into a couple of things outside of, you know, music. I've done a couple podcasts, of course, with Jack Thriller, which I found that I have a rambunctious personality.
That's good.
You know, so
that's good.
I'm tapping in. You know, I'm definitely tapping in. You know, and then on a personal side, I help people get funding across the country, so in different ways for whatever, film, TV, you want to buy a boat, buy a plane, fix your business and personal credit, things like that. You know, I've tapped into a lot of different things, so I'm well-versed. Yeah.
And that's dope, especially when you talk, especially with the acting side, because of course one of your friends, Tom Gist, you know who you worked with as well. You know, obviously, you know some of the videos he directed for you. I mean, so you pretty much have gotten to see that side of all things. So now, one thing you said about fixing credit, because this is definitely another subject we got to talk about in the hood. How important is it for people to really understand what it means to have good credit and how not to fall into bad credit?
I mean, honestly, you know, credit is king. You know, before you go spend on that debit card, people want to ask you using credit. You know, and the reason for that is because it just tells people, you know, how responsible you are and how you handle debt. And because of that, mm-hmm. you have numbers high enough, they want to give you the world. You know, so it's important to learn about credit. It's important to know how to utilize your credit, what utilization you should have with credit cards itself. And it could buy you almost anything, good credit, without putting a dollar down. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I forgot where I saw this video, but this guy, he was saying that he taught his children to only use credit cards. Debit cards are the worst things created, that their credit scores are like 890 or something like that right now,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I was like, wow, you know, but it's vital at this point in the game, you know, to have debit cards. You know, it's cool and everything, but it brings back no value to you, you know. But when you use that credit just can walk you into rooms you've never been in. So I suggest if you have bad credit, fix it, absolutely. Find the right people to fix it, you know.
Definitely. And what advice would you give some artists out there that may get a little bit of, because we've talked a lot of people on air and off air about it. King is, you know, of course, knows, is friends with one of our sponsors, Core Financial, you know, that is so well versed in all matters of money. What do a lot of these artists have to understand in terms of coming in and when they start seeing, because obviously you've been in the game now for a minute, you know, and of course with your manager, mm-hmm. Stars. So, you know, y'all have seen a lot of stuff and heard a lot of stuff as well from other people. Especially
right.
Now with social media being what it is in terms of how a lot of these artists are now able to cake off money from YouTube and such. But something like anything, inevitably, and then when songs start, you know, streaming and all this, that trending, money starts coming in. But then sometimes a lot of artists get caught up trying to live a lifestyle that financially they're not fully matured enough with their money being grown to do. What do artists have to understand about when they start seeing a little bit of money, about how important it is to save it as opposed to trying to buy, you know, that Bentley truck, the Jaeger, all that?
I mean, I personally think that you stay within your means. And while you might have a bigger bag now, as they would say, you have a big bag now, make sure that you make the right investments. I mean, it's easy to go buy a luxury car or buy that mansion you always dreamed of having. But remember, that luxury car depreciates in value. And mm-hmm. that luxury home that you dreamed of having has a bill every single month. And
right.
if you spend money, you want your money to make money. So don't be so quick to go out there and just purchase everything you've ever dreamed of because you feel you got one life to live. Because guess what? If you have any children, you need to leave something for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
church,
even if it's just
church.
For you, you don't want to go broke after the first purchase. Like, you know, some purchases are outrageous. You know, just, you don't have to keep up with the Joneses and trying to prove to the world that you got it. Oh, they know you made it. They see you. You're on television now, you know. But just work within your means and make the right smart investments that can create generational wealth for you and your family, you know. So be smart about it because you never know how fast it can be swept from right up under you. So just, I would tell folks to, like, you know, you get some good coin coming in, you know, make some good investments, save a little bit, spend a little bit, you know. Just do it the right way.
It's easy when you see them zeros and them commas. It's easy.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah.
For that money, especially if it's in advance, if you got an advance from a record label or something, guess what? All that money you owe them.
Yeah.
They just gave it to you up front. You know? You still owe them with shows. You still owe them records with albums, tours. You know? Be smart. Don't go buy that chain
back
with the extra stuff.
Yeah, which goes back to what you were saying earlier about 360 deals, because back in the day, you know, even when artists, when, you know, it started, you know, the contracts started picking up with artists getting signed to major labels and such, you know, it was basically just, you know, you get modded, you know, a lot of artists back in the day. Now, when you go to artists like EPMD, you know, back in the day, they didn't really need a label's money because they were producers and rappers, so they were self-contained, just like with Prince.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Prince had to fight. And I'm going to plug my brother's article, the one he wrote about Prince and all the stuff he went through fighting for his, you know, intellectual property with his name and everything. Excellent piece. You know, and when you're looking at it, a lot of times artists don't understand what it really means in terms of holding on to it, you know, in terms of understanding, you know, these deals that are signed now, 360, I mean, it's talking about even taking part of your tour merch money. Back in the day, you know, your show money and your merch money was yours. You know, there was nobody
mm-hmm.
doing that.
I think what
mm-hmm.
that is that 360, it gives people, the artists per se, that more famous than ever, because that's what a lot of people more concerned about. They just want to be famous. They just want to be popular. But, yeah.
Right.
As soon as that album get released and the points get cut and they left out in the cold eating Campbell's soup while they boss is eating steak, you gonna know something's different.
Yep. That's why you gotta know the business. Learn the business.
I mean,
don't let the presence use you. You become a puppet.
Yeah, like when King wrote his article about Prince, you know, and he worked on that thing, and, you know, he broke down about how Prince was basically having to fight through all of that stuff in terms of, you know, I mean, Prince Rogers Nelson, that was his real name, you know, and he couldn't even use his real name.
Prince was very talented to where he could create a symbol and create a new identity. A lot of these niggas can't do that, man. They ain't even got the aptitude to do, to even complete two albums, let alone switch their whole name.
Right.
Yeah, but the business has been so multifaceted over the years. I mean, you know, we've seen, you know, from where we saw, you know, everybody just looked at his music. I mean, we've seen artists like Ice-T, Ice Cube, you know, do movies. You know, Will Smith do a television show. I mean, it's like, see, Queen Latifah have her own show and host a talk show. I mean, you know, I mean, her doing a national anthem at the Super Bowl. I mean, this is just all like, you know, it's been a testament to how the business has grown, but it's also shown at the same time how you have to be financially literate and business savvy and maintaining your brand, and as you said, not compromising yourself. Because, you know, the funny thing about it is you have some people to get into it, and when they get in, you know, they manage to maintain their integrity and their identity, you know, and when their run is over, they're okay because they've already transitioned into something else. And then you have some people that once they get into the aspect of fame, that lane of fame, they decide they like really, really, really like it. And then they will do like a lot of stupid shit to maintain it.
You know,
all this goes hand in hand with the next question here. You know, now we live in the social media based society. And it has its perks. It has its perks. We're able to contact new guests. We're able to get our voices out there. We're able to connect with fan bases. But it also has its dark side, where it can literally be a beast, especially when it's used against you. Now, how are you able to utilize your social media to where it can work in your favor?
I mean, I drink water and mind my business for the most part. So, you know, at the end of the day, I just try to promote positivity and stay out of the mess. You know, the rabbit hole gets deep on social media. You can get yourself involved in conversations and arguments that's very unnecessary. So I kind of stay clear of a lot of this stuff. You know, I've had some controversy around me already where, you know, I had people wanting to take my life and take my kids' life and all because, you know, of a picture, you know. And so I've had to make certain adjustments where, you know, I'm on and off, on and off, on and off, you know. Because if, you know, you're on it too much and you're having these conversations, you're fighting trolls and people who are just there just to make fun of, you know, or start trouble. And honestly, you know, when you're working, you don't have time for that anyway. You know what I'm saying? So I stay clear of a lot of stuff because I'm not involved with it at all.
I'll tell you one thing, though. There's one thing that's intriguing about social media is the comments. Comments can really trigger
people. Oh, yeah.
Word the trick.
You know what's even greater? You know what's even greater? That block and delete button. Let me tell you, it's so good. It works well.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, you either block both and keep it moving. You know, you make a new page or block that page too. It's very easy now. So you don't necessarily have to engage. You know, I know it can be hard where you see the comments, it comes in. But, you know, you just got to have a tough skin. You know, a tough skin and, you know, to just ignore and keep it moving. Stay positive mindset, you know.
Especially when the people in the comments can engage, put you into different conversations that you won't even have nothing to do or want to be a part of. That's the crazy
thing.
I know. Man, you called it been the whirlwind of somebody else's beef. That's why I'm
But you only caught up if you allow yourself to get pulled in.
Exactly.
You shouldn't
that's
even be in the area.
I
don't get pulled in.
Just use your publicist.
That's
yeah.
why.
And, you know, and that's one thing, too, I think a lot of people have to understand in terms of it, you know, because, you know, we deal with it ourselves on our page, you know, on our YouTube page, Off the Cuff Radio, you know, where Pez will try to get out there and say some crazy shit, and we already know we're pretty damn good at what we do. So, now,
yeah,
can't
hold me.
Say, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they owe me. Yeah. I have to come back out in the road every once in a while, you know, put a foot to their neck, but. It depends
that
on
part.
The level. Because I'm like, y'all ain't eating off me.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you know
but,
what? That's how the lawsuits happen real fast.
Yeah.
That's how lawsuits happen, yep.
But also,
you
know,
said
a lot of... Yeah, but also, too, people got to understand that while a snappy comeback or a certain, you know, which is all the more important why at times, you know, if it really gets serious, why you really do have to at times, like you said, block and delete, because you got individuals out there. Let's keep it real. You got some motherfuckers out there that are just unhinged. And we unfortunately have seen situations where you have
just,
those people online.
Because you're giving everybody your voice.
Yeah, and worst case scenarios, you do have some people that will try to do harm to you because it's just they get a healthily obsessed and they're mad that you don't give them the attention they think they should get, and it's crazy out there. And I can only imagine
a
lot of times. Yeah, it is, and like you said, that's why I think at times for a lot of people, especially with you being out there, you know, on a wider scale. So it's important to know exactly, like you said, when to pull back from it because you got some people out there that they just, you never know what's going to stir them up. And that's not your fault. It's them because they're already unhinged at a certain level that they will just act up on anything. But like you said, you just mind your business, keep your hydration of happiness for your health and positivity, and that's the way, you know, you stay floating. You know, that's the wave you ride, you know, to have a wonderful life with it. pretty much, yeah, man. But I mean, it's all about.
Yeah, you gotta do gunfight. You
know,
you gotta let
yeah.
a troll die. You know how you look at the. You remember, y'all remember the movie Gremlins, where you know you give you throw water at a troll, the troll get bigger. Don't throw him no water.
Right.
Just let him die.
Yeah.
Well, guys, if you don't have any more questions for me, a girl has to go.
Understood.
Yes, yes. I appreciate
Understood.
You guys.
Now I got one more to shoot to you before we go. One more to shoot. I got to shoot to you. Now, as you know, things is opening back up slowly. Now, are you going to be on any tours?
We're prepping for a tour now. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little more comfortable coming back outside again, just a little bit. So, yeah, we've started pulling together the dancers and the shows and getting right, you know, dropping a few pounds. You know, it's time. It's time. So I just wanted to make sure I have the repertoire behind me, the records that I need, the follow-up records and things like that. And, yeah, we're on the go. So look
that
out for it. And they can check it out at harmworldmusic.com. I'll post some things up soon as it's available, including the video, including what's next. And, yeah, if anybody's listening now, thank you for listening in, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Yeah, I was saying that it definitely was fun building with you for the past hour and a half. We championed you, and we hoping that you kick those doors down like you already been doing with this single. We're definitely behind you at 1,000%.
We're here for all of
yeah,
everything you do.
That. I really appreciate that, and thank you guys for creating platforms for people like us to come on and discuss our endeavors. Thank you so much.
We appreciate people like yourself coming on our show, you know. We reach out to a lot of people. Don't think we're not big enough, but we know we're big. And it's always a blessing. It's always, we're always grateful, you know, the people like yourself to come on and build with us. So we really appreciate you, Harmony. And, you know, you're welcome back anytime. You know, anything you got new, anybody you want to bring through, you know, please, you know, y'all come through. Y'all welcome. Yeah.
Got you guys. I appreciate you. Thank you so very much, man. Thank you.
You guys have
a good night tonight.
All right. You
too.
Now.
Too.
So, yeah, we'll
all
see
right,
you.
Guys.
We'll see y'all this Sunday night. Same off-the-cuff
yep.
time radio, same off-the-cuff time channel.
Yo. Peace.